The Bible says in 1 Samuel 18, verse 1, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants." Let's pray tonight and ask God to speak to us. Father, we're so thankful this evening that when we don't have any other friends, we're thankful that Jesus is our friend. He truly is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. How we thank you tonight for Jesus. But Father, as we think about friendship and even being a Bible friend, Lord, I pray that each one of us this evening may receive instruction from your word about being the best friend we can possibly be to our friends and our loved ones. Speak to us in a personal way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I think about this text tonight, I read about a friend named Jonathan. Jonathan, who was a prince, befriended David, who was a pauper. And when he did, man, they had a lifelong friendship between them. And what a difference that friendship made literally in David's life. Man, God put Jonathan in David's path because David needed a friend like that. And let me say that, like Jonathan, the Lord puts each one of us in the paths of others because everybody here needs a friend. I do. We do as well. God placed all of us in this body so that we can make a difference in each other's lives. And for the next several weeks, I want to preach a sermon series entitled Doing for Others. And as we begin this series tonight, I want to talk about Jonathan and Bible friendship. Because, see, as believers this evening, doing for others involves being the best Bible friend you can be for them. So let's talk about Jonathan tonight. And first of all, let's have a discussion about his Bible friendship. Now, as you think about Jonathan's life tonight, this one mentioned in verse 1 here, the son of King Saul. But as you think about Jonathan's life, you find that his name is mentioned many times in Scripture. By the way, as you study his life, you also find that Jonathan lived during a very hard time in the nation of Israel. In fact, it was a time when the Philistines were greatly troubling God's people. As a matter of fact, the preceding chapter vividly illustrates that. In fact, turn back one chapter to chapter 17, and let's read the first 8 verses there. This describes what a difficult era of time that was. But in chapter 17, verse 1, the Bible tells us that the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shoco, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shoco and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. So in essence, the Philistines, and the giant particularly there, was challenging Israel, and the Philistines were this warlike group of people who were always picking a fight with somebody, always trying to dominate somebody, and they oftentimes had their sights set on Israel. This powerful tribe, by the way, made many incursions into the land of the Hebrews, And during that particular era of time, there was almost perpetual war between them. As a matter of fact, they sometimes held the tribes of Israel, especially the southern tribes of Judah, but they often held Israel's tribes in degrading servitude. So this era of time in which Jonathan lived was a hard time to live, being an Israelite. It was a tough time. There was always a battle that had to be faced by the people of God, much like it is today for us. We always are facing spiritual battles in this day and time as believers. But as we think about Jonathan tonight, we find that he's mentioned numerous times throughout the Bible and throughout specifically the book of 1 Samuel. In fact, Jonathan's name is mentioned more than 60 times in this book alone. I think in total, his name is mentioned about 120 times in the whole Old Testament, but in the Bible rather, but 60 times alone in the book of 1 Samuel. And so his name is a very prominent name. And just to get a sense of who he was, let's look at a few passages here in 1 Samuel where his name is mentioned. And the first time we see Jonathan's name mentioned is in chapter 13. Turn back there if you would. In chapter 13, verse 2, the Bible says that that Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. And the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. In verse 16, we find out who this man is, Saul, Jonathan rather. It says there that Saul and Jonathan, his son, and the people that were present with them abode in Gibeah of Benjamin, but the Philistines encamped in Michmash. So we find there that Saul, or Jonathan rather, is Saul's son. And we also see the Philistines again. In chapter 14, the Bible tells us in verse 1 there that it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over to the Philistine garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. And, you know, we see bravery there in Jonathan's life against these warlike people. In chapter 19, we learn something of his character. In fact, it says in verse 4 there that Jonathan spake of good of David unto Saul, his father, and said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee very good. So he is defending David there. In chapter 23, verse 16, the Bible says that Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. But the point is, Jonathan was apparently a godly man, and there are many other scriptures we could read tonight, but time won't permit that. But many of these scriptures give us a glimpse about this man who was a Bible friend. But as you study all the more than 60 times where his name is mentioned throughout the book of 1 Samuel, you realize that he's mentioned honorably. That says a lot. He's mentioned with a sense of honor. In fact, his name is synonymous with not only character and courage, but conviction. And you find that as a friend, he was loyal. And by the way, that's the kind of friend we ought all strive to be, loyal like that. And listen, we all need a friend like Jonathan was. And we likewise need to be a friend like Jonathan was. And in fact, Jonathan is epitomized in what Solomon wrote. In fact, Solomon wrote in Proverbs 17, verse 17, a friend loveth at all times, and man did Jonathan ever. And a brother is born for adversity, he said, and how that epitomizes Jonathan's life. Likewise, in Proverbs 18:24, Solomon wrote that a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And oh, did Jonathan ever show himself friendly with David? And because we know that all that is written in the Bible was written for our admonition, then we know also that God told us so much about Jonathan in order to demonstrate to us the kind of friends we ought to be to our friends. See, every person here needs a friend like Jonathan, and we ought all strive to be a friend like Jonathan. Again, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. You know what the word adversity means? It means when your friend's in a tight place, when they're caught between a rock and a hard place, he said there that a brother or a friend is born for a time when your friend is in a tight situation. And that's a very hard time. And listen, Jonathan was for David. And just like Jonathan, we as God's people tonight ought to likewise be there for our friends when they're between a rock and a hard place. Because I'll tell you, like Kyle that I read about a moment ago, sometimes we need a friend like that who will help us. We need that. In fact, even though Jonathan lived under constant threat of the Philistines himself, I mean, he was the king's son, so he was always under threat from the Philistines, yet he lived honorably not only before God, but he stood side by side with his friend David. And what an example Jonathan is to every one of us tonight. Because I don't know about you, but when I've got a need, I'm glad to have a friend. I got a friend right now who I don't get to see very often because he lives in North Carolina, but I got a friend who's always stuck by my side. I mean, this story about Kyle that I read a moment ago sort of reminded me of my friend Eugene. Eugene was like the Incredible Bulk. You know, he had these big neck muscles, you know, and his arms were that big around. And I was, you know, I didn't weigh 120 pounds soaking wet in those days. I was the kind of person who was a little discouraged sometimes. But yet Gene, being popular and having the letter on his jacket and having all that, listen, Gene came alongside me and was a great friend like that. And listen, Christians need a friend like that. But before we go any further tonight, I want us to more fully understand, you know, Jonathan, if we can. In fact, you know, his name all by itself is significant. In fact, the name Jonathan means literally, he whom Jehovah gave. Isn't that a great name? He is that person whom Jehovah gave. And when Jonathan's parents, Saul and Ahinoam, looked at him when he was born, they must have thought to themselves, man, this little baby is he whom God gave us. And, you know, although the name Jonathan is given to 15 others in the Bible, yet Saul's eldest son here was he whom God gave. And incidentally, you know, in Bible days, parents would oftentimes give their children specific names. In fact, you think about Samuel, Hannah's mom, when she was barren for all those years. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 1:20 that when Samuel was born, she named him Samuel, which means asked of God. Because, see, she spent day after day after day asking God for a baby, and God gave her a baby. He gave her Samuel. And in notion, when Jonathan was born, his parents must have looked at him and thought, man, that little baby was he who God gave us. And by the way, every Christian parent believes their children were given them by God, don't we? I mean, I believe that. And the Bible even tells us that, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward in Psalm 127:3. And incidentally, this is sort of off track some, but that's one reason why abortion is so wrong. Because children, anytime a baby is conceived, that little baby is the reward of God and the heritage of the Lord, which means they're God's inheritance. When God wants to give a couple an inheritance, he says, that baby is your inheritance. But the fact is that, like Jonathan, every child is from God, and therefore no parent has the right or the ability, really, or they don't have the right anyway. They have the ability, but they don't have the right to ever terminate a life. But again, what a special man Jonathan was. And listen, here's the point with Jonathan's name. God gave Jonathan to Israel for a purpose. He gave Jonathan not only to Israel, and he served Israel, by the way, till he died, but God likewise gave Jonathan to Saul for a purpose. And you keep in mind, God gave Jonathan to David for a purpose. And we're going to see that in a little while here. But again, aren't you glad God has likewise given us for a purpose? See, we too are he or she whom God has given, right? And I can think of a lot of reasons why, But one reason why God gave you to me and me to you is because God knew we needed each other. We need Christian friendships to help us in those tight spots. We need those brothers in those times of adversity. And I'd remind all of us, too, that we have an obligation as people, as Christians. In fact, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, Paul wrote, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." And in other words, you say that you love your brother, then serve them, right? You say that you love your fellow church member, your friends, well then serve them. And that's exactly why God gave us to each other. But as we think about our discussion regarding Jonathan tonight, there's three principles I want to quickly share tonight. And number one, we've already saw this. Number one, Jonathan was given by God. That's important. He was given by God to serve Israel during a very hard time in their history. He was given by God to likewise serve King Saul. And ultimately, he was given by God to serve with and help David, because God was going to use David in a mighty way. And David needed him for that. But if you study his life in detail, you'll likewise find that not only was he given by God, but number two, he allowed himself to be governed by God. And let me make a statement here. A Bible friend can be a more effective friend if they're willing to let God govern their life. A friend who is a friend that doesn't let God govern their life won't be a very good friend in the final analysis. But listen, Jonathan allowed himself to be governed by God. I mean, he obviously trusted in God. In fact, look back to chapter 14, if you would, and as you're turning back there again, remember that the enemy, the Philistines, were bearing down hard on God's people. But listen to what it says in verse 6 there. Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, "Come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised." Notice this, "it may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." Now, what does it sound like? It sounds to me like already Jonathan's trust God. He's trusting God even with his life. But at the same time, too, as you read 1 Samuel, you find that he was also very submissive to God. As a matter of fact, what was Jonathan's current position in Israel? He was next in line to be the king, right? He was next in line to become the king of Israel. But let me read 1 Samuel 23:17, if I can. Jonathan told David, "Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. And that also Saul my father knoweth." And so here, Jonathan willingly submitted himself to the will of God, even when it meant giving up the throne. He didn't pursue his own interest, even if it benefited himself. When he realized God wanted to establish David as the king and not himself, he just humbly submitted himself to the will of God. What a great asset that can be for a friend. He was given by God and was willing to likewise be governed by God. And can I tell you this? The most effective way to be a Bible friend is to be just like Jonathan. To say, "Lord, I'm not much, but I'm willing to do what you say." But now that we've briefly discussed some about Jonathan, let's talk about his dedication as a Bible friend. And let me remind us tonight that when we are a friend to somebody, they need somebody who's dedicated to God more than they need maybe even fellowship sometimes. They need somebody who's dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, as I studied all 60 references of Jonathan in 1 Samuel, I couldn't help but to see his dedication with regards not only to God but to his friend. See, time and time again, Jonathan was dedicated not only to his God, and we've already saw that somewhat, but he was dedicated to his friend David. And can I tell you this? God requires that stewards be found faithful or dedicated, right? In fact, as I studied for this sermon for this past week, I found that Jonathan was dedicated even when nobody else was around. As a matter of fact, look back in chapter 14 again and notice verse 1. In chapter 14 here in 1 Samuel, verse 1, it says that it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan the son of Saul said unto the young man that bare his armor, "Come and let us go over to the Philistine garrison that is on the other side." But he told not his father. Now, I want you to put that in perspective. Jonathan was with his armor bearer. His daddy wasn't there. The other soldiers weren't there. It was only him and his armor bearer, and Jonathan was willing to take a stand for God even when nobody else was around. That's so important. Isn't it easy to sort of take a stand for God when everybody's watching? It really is. Because, you know, there's peer pressure, and that's not a bad thing. But listen, it's not easy to take a stand when nobody else is around. But yet, here's Jonathan. He realized, man, I'm not really serving my daddy Saul. I'm serving God. And therefore, let's go fight God's battles. And he did it when nobody was watching. And I would say also that he likewise stood for God when likewise everybody was watching. In fact, look, if you would, in chapter 13, if you would. In chapter 13, verse 16, Jonathan, Saul's son, the Bible, in fact, let me open up my Bible here, chapter 13, verse number 16. The Bible says there that Saul and Jonathan, his son, and the people that were present with him abode in Gibeah of Benjamin, but the Philistines encamped in Michmash, and the spoilers came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned unto the way that leadeth to Ophrah, unto the land of Shual, and another company turned the way to Beth Horon, and another company turned to the way of the border that looketh to the valley of Zeboam toward the wilderness. Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his shear. And the point I'm trying to make is, Jonathan was faithful to God when nobody was looking and when everybody was watching. He was faithful even when all the soldiers were around also. And can I tell you this? God wants every last one of us to be faithful to God no matter who's watching. And I want to tell you this, when you've got a friend who's faithful to God, when you're there, when you're not there, when we're there, when we're not there, that's the kind of friend we need. That's the kind of friend Jonathan was to Saul. And I thought about also something else about Jonathan and his faithfulness. Jonathan was faithful even when his daddy wasn't. You know, if you read about Saul's life in the several chapters in 1 Samuel, you find that Saul had some sin problems. In fact, quickly turn to chapter 15, if you would, and let's read a few verses there. In chapter 15, Samuel also said unto, in verse 1 there, unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and notice, utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." Now, what does that sound like to you? God wanted Saul and those people to destroy everything that breathed of the Amalekites. And that seems kind of harsh to us, but you need to understand the whole Amalekite situation, which we don't have time to talk about tonight. But that was God's directive. And then the Bible tells us that, you know, Saul, he smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. Wait a minute. Is that in obedience to God? It's partial obedience. But you know, partial obedience is disobedience. As you read on, you find also that he saved the best of the livestock alive. he let the king live, and the best sheep he let them live. And then later on, when Samuel questioned him about it, the Bible tells us in verse 13 there that Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to Samuel, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandments of the Lord." So he sinned, and he lied about it. And you know something? Jonathan could have very easily allowed himself to have been influenced by his daddy Saul. Easily. I mean, his daddy was king. He could have very easily had an influence in Saul's life. Jonathan could have very easily allowed himself to be indulged in Saul's desires. See, Saul wanted Jonathan to be king. In fact, do you remember on one occasion in chapter 20 when Jonathan had tipped David off about what Saul was about to do? And the Bible tells us that Saul was angry. In verse 30 there, his anger was kindled against Jonathan. And he said unto him, "Thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall die." So he was saying there, you're never going to be king until David is dead. And see, Saul wanted Jonathan to be king. And you know, Jonathan could have very easily indulged in that desire. He could have done that very easily. It would have been simple too. But you know what? Jonathan loved God.